You do not have to believe in yourself to start building confidence. Actions come first. Confidence comes later. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. It's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect. And this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Good to be back with all of you amazing, brave-hearted women. You know, I say that every episode, and I hope that you really, truly know that you are an amazing, brave-hearted woman. You're listening to this podcast. That's evidence right there that you're eager to grow and stretch and continue on your journey of greatness, even in midlife. All right, so let's get into this. Confidence. I want to just give you a couple pointers today. And if you apply them, you are going to see results. That's the way we do everything here. Well, first of all, number one, did you know that you do not have to believe in yourself to start building confidence? Now, if you already have a healthy belief in yourself and your capabilities, awesome. A lack of confidence may not be your issue, but listen, we all have times where we can shrink, don't we? We all have times where we feel like we can become small around the presence of others that maybe are intimidating, or maybe you have the fear of people, like you want everyone to be your best friend, you want them to like you, and while you may say you're a very confident person, you also might be tempted to become small in the presence of someone else's strong opinion. People that we think, hey, they're out of my league or they're a giant in the faith, and so we find ourselves shrinking. I want to share with you some things today that will change that. But you do not have to believe in yourself to start building confidence. It is not a prerequisite. Now, here's what you do have to do, though. You have to take action. And that's the second point of this episode today. You must take action. You don't have to believe in yourself to take action. Not at all. Actions come first. Confidence comes later. You know, we all get in our heads, don't we? We all get into our thinking. We ruminate. We have fearful thoughts. Sometimes we even release those words out of our mouth. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you want to write a book. For me, that example is very real and very true. But let's say you have a story to tell and you want to write it. Well, you open up your laptop, you sit down, you get ready, and instantly you are met with a 1,000-piece ensemble of voices all telling you, who do you think you are? You don't know how to write. You don't know grammar. You don't know the writing rules. Nobody wants to read this stuff. What makes you better than anyone else? This is not going to get published. You know, and on it goes. You get into your feelings. You get kind of overwhelmed with that inner critic. And what do? Let's say you just shut your laptop, slam it down, and walk away. Well, what has happened to you? Okay, a couple of things. First of all, you thought you had to believe in yourself, in your abilities, and in your capability to start writing. You thought you had to know the answer to that naysayer, to those nagging questions. You had to cast down all those negative beliefs. And you had to speak your affirmations and you had to really convince yourself and persuade yourself. Now, I am a huge advocate for affirmations and casting down vain imaginations, but you don't have to do that before you do the thing. You don't have to convince yourself of anything before you sit there and write. So what else happened when you slammed that laptop shut? Well, another thing, and this is huge, this is what happened. You just had a negative experience. You had a negative experience with your writing and the association with your laptop. What happened? Your brain catalogs this as something painful. It's an experience to avoid. And remember, I always tell you that the brain can't differentiate between what is unsafe and what is uncomfortable. And your brain's number one job is to detect threat. So next time you go to write, what's going to happen? Oop, your brain pulls up out of its little catalog of memories. This is a negative experience. This is unsafe for you. This is something you're doing that should be avoided. Now you've got to scale a huge mountain or a huge ensemble of naysayers to get yourself to write. You've now made an association. That's where procrastination comes from. That's where we start kicking the can down the street and say, I am going to write, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. I am going to do it. It's becoming more difficult because what fires together wires together. And your brain just fired together with this negative experience. Now, it doesn't just have to be about writing. It's about anything. Let me give you a real-time example. So I have a grand dog named Axel. He's just a little 5-pound shih tzu. He is my son's dog, and he adopted Axel. My son adopted Axel when Axel was returned from the previous owners. And Axel is afraid of everything. Specifically, he is afraid of, ready for this? Wait for it. He is afraid of dishes. Yes, dishes, bowls, plates. He's afraid of dishes. Our guess is that the previous owners probably smashed his face down in the plate or the bowl to make him eat because that's one of his issues. He's a very delicate dog. He has digestive issues and he doesn't eat well. We have to really help him and we've had to really baby him to find even the food that he will eat. But now if you put a plate down in front of him, even if it has steak on it, chicken, eggs that he loves, it doesn't matter. He is afraid of that plate. He will cower in the corner or maybe move away from it. Isn't that sad? He's much like Pavlov's dogs. He's been conditioned. You remember the experiment with Pavlov's dogs. They'd ring a bell and then they'd feed him a treat and the dogs would salivate. Eventually, they didn't even have to feed him the treat. They just rang the bell and the dogs would salivate because what fires together, wires together. Well, my little dog, Axel, now we're trying to put little treats and we're trying to rewire his brain to break that negative association. Plates equal pain. What's the negative association that maybe is happening to you? Let's get back to you. Every time you write, if you feel like your face is being smashed by your inner critic, how much incentive do you have to write? Not very much. You're going to put that computer away. You're going to put it off. You're going to say, forget it. But what if you just showed up? What if you just did the thing? Whatever it is. Every time you just did that thing that you say that you want to do, that you've promised yourself that you're going to do, whether it's exercise or clean out your closet or start that business or stop that habit or finish that relationship or start that new one or write that book or start that podcast, whatever it is. What if you just said, I'm not getting into my feelings. I'm not getting in my emotions. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to do the thing. And then as you're doing the thing, you add in the affirmation that says, way to rock this. You're crushing it, girl. You are a bad woman up in here. Good job. Bad meaning awesome, right? Then you add in your affirmations. Way to show up for yourself. Good job. That's what I say. Good job, Dawn. Good job, baby girl. You're doing the thing. Because then when you show up for yourself, you add in affirmations, you start building trust. Trust with yourself. Let me ask you this question. If I asked you to tell me about someone that you really have confidence in, what would you say to me? If I said, think about somebody right now that you really have confidence in, and then I would ask you to describe that person or why you have confidence in them, you might say something like this. Well, because I trust them. Because they do what they say they're going to do. Because they always show up. They're always where they say they're going to be. That's actually where we get the word con man, confidence man. Now that person has intent to deceive us, but what if this person that we're talking about has intent to do well, to motivate, to elevate, to push us, to support us. Are you that kind of person for you? Do you trust yourself? Do you show up for yourself? Do you keep your promises to you? Do you say what you mean and do what you say? You say, you know what, this week you're looking at your calendar, and I hope that you do schedule your week, and you say, this week I'm going to go to the gym 3 times. I'm going to write 5 times, 10 minutes every day. What happens when you break your promise? You lose trust in yourself. You might not know it in your frontal lobe, in your conscious mind, but your unconscious, your subconscious is very well aware of that. You're losing confidence in you, and you're losing self-respect. Self-esteem is plummeting. You're having negative feelings about yourself, and those negative feelings start to come out your mouth in the form of words, phrases, curses, really. You can't do it. You never do anything. You're not good enough. Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. Even those of us who have been successful, here we are in midlife. We're learning something brand new. We're making transitions. We might be tempted to scold ourselves for even aging, feeling down on ourselves for being the person that we are right now. But when you show up for yourself, just do the thing. You're going to grow in confidence. You're going to grow in self-esteem. You're not going to feel like a failure and quit. Remember, back to the illustration of writing. I don't have to believe that I'm a great or even a good writer to write. I just write. I don't have to believe anyone wants to read my writing to write. I don't have to believe I can sell it or that it'll be published to write. I don't have to believe any of that. All I have to do is write. Just do the thing. And then when I get done, I say, you rocked it today, girl. You did it. And I reward myself for taking action, bold, courageous action. I took action. It feels so good. People say, you go to the gym. Yes, I do go to the gym. Maybe I go 3-4 times a week. Yo, you love going to the gym. No, I hate going to the gym. I love how I feel after I go to the gym because I have developed a dopamine reward system. I am addicted to the feeling I have after I've gone to the gym. I feel so positive. I feel powerful. I feel like Wonder Woman. I'm so glad that I did it and that I went. That's why I get up and go, because I love the feeling. That's why I write. That's why I do the hard stuff, because I like the dopamine reward afterwards. So you know what? You know how I get that? Because eventually, let's talk about you. If you do that thing, whatever it is, and you're consistent, you just show up for yourself, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start seeing results, aren't you? At the end of the week, you're going to have an article or a chapter or a book at the end of 6 months. You show up for you, you start seeing results. You're going to lose that 5 pounds, that 10 pounds. If every time you get on the scale, you see it lower and lower, what's happening? You're boosting your confidence and your reward system. You're now like, I'm locked in. I'm doing this thing. You didn't have to believe that you were going to lose weight to go to the gym. You just go to the gym. You do the thing. Now, obviously, it helps when we start believing in ourselves, but you don't have to do that to start. I said I would write, and I did. I feel good. I said I would go to the gym, and I did. I feel good. I said I would save this money, and look it, I did. My self-esteem is up. I said I would clean out my closet and declutter. I did. I feel so good. I said I would clean my car and take it to the car wash and get rid of the junk and maintain it. I did. I didn't have to believe in my ability to keep it clean. I just did the thing. I rid myself of the clutter. I did it. So when you follow through with yourself, you build confidence and self-esteem, and you give yourself an experience, and now you have a track record. You say, I did it before. I can do it again. I have skills. I feel proud of myself. I've learned some wisdom. I did this thing, and I have this whole education now. And you know what? Confidence comes from experience. Now I feel confident that I can do that again. I can pull down the voices that say, I wish I wasn't such an introvert. I don't need to be an extrovert to do the thing. I wish I had more guts. I don't need guts to do the thing. I can do it. If only I had, you know, more resources. I don't need those resources to take baby steps. If I had more time, I'm old. How old will you be in 5 years if you don't do the thing? Same age. Start today. I don't have what it takes. How do you know? Confidence comes second. Taking action comes first. You're proving to yourself that you can accomplish a task. And how amazing is that to know that we are capable, powerful, able individuals? As my girlfriend says, a contributing member of society. You are a contributing member of you. You have confidence in you. You have faith in you. You can trust yourself because you won't let yourself down. You will show up for you. You won't shy away from opportunities because you don't need to believe in yourself to take the next right step. You won't live small and miss out on things. You'll take risks because you don't need to feel, oh, what if I look stupid? And so what? You don't suffer with insecurity. You're a confident person. How did you get confidence? I gained confidence by taking action. All right, everybody. Isn't that good? I hope that helps you. I know it will help you. So whatever you're facing today, do the thing. Keep your promises to you. If you've made too many promises to yourself, clean the slate and start over. It's still February. The whole year is ahead of you. What promises will you make and keep to yourself so that your self-esteem can grow? That's what I have for you today. Don't forget to share this, like me, and review it. I'll appreciate it. Hey, listen, I appreciate you. I'm gonna leave you like I always do, brave-hearted woman. This is your moment to find your brave and live your vision. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Brave-Hearted Woman, Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.